When the praises go up, the blessings come down.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up tonight after 7, it's this week's edition of Reveal. Today, Reveal investigates the high levels of exhaust surrounding U.S. schools and how the bad air is affecting the millions of children who are breathing it in. That's tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, from Adele's win to calls for more recognition of Beyoncé, the Grammys last week sparked a lot of conversation about culture and the future of music. The awards show, which some consider the biggest night in music, also featured a lot of religious and spiritual imagery and metaphors. Artists like Chance the Rapper, who we just heard there, A Tribe Called Quest, and Beyoncé made a lot of nods to religious traditions.
Artists like Chance the Rapper are open about their religious background. Here's a listen to his Grammy performance backed by a gospel choir.
Exalt, glorify, descend upon the earth with swords and fortify the borders where your shortest lie. I used to hide from God, dump down in the slums like...
Tripp Hudgens joins us now. He's a PhD candidate in liturgical studies and ethnomusicology at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California. He joins us now to tell us more about some of the religious references at the Grammys and the overlap between religion and popular music in general. Tripp, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob. I appreciate it.
Well, you're somebody who studies religion and music and the ways they overlap. Did this Grammy event stand out to you for that reason?
Yes and no. It's what's interesting to me about it, and this is how I typically track these things, with public, well, social media being this wonderfully explosive thing over the last decade, it's more prevalent now how people actually connect religious or spiritual ideas to musical performances. So now artists have this opportunity to do the thing that they've always done on a bigger stage, and you can witness more people responding to it. Kanye West is famous for what he did in 2005 with Jesus Walks. I don't know if you remember that. And that's just not even the beginning of a long tradition. But this particular Grammy, people really took advantage of what's been a long-standing sort of spiritual habit in American culture.
Well, yeah, I think Elvis, he wasn't just a rock star. He sang a lot of gospel, well, and country and everything else. And Aretha Franklin, R&B, sure, but gospel, yeah. This is not... This overlap and this crossover between pop music and religion is nothing new.
No, think about Johnny Cash's last couple of albums and even the stuff that was published posthumously. I mean, he wore his spirituality on his sleeve, and it was received incredibly well in a time when organized religion seems to be in the decline. These artists have incredible traction right now. If your listeners wanted to Google Lemonade Syllabus to track Beyoncé's work, There's a wonderful array of articles and resources just to follow the theology that she's presented in her album Lemonade.
And let's talk about Beyoncé and her performance. People have talked about, and I didn't, I just kind of saw it as a big show, but people pointed out a lot of callbacks to Christian, African traditional religions, a lot of different religious traditions represented in this show that she put on at the Grammys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are... Roman, Hindu, African divinity is represented in a lot of what she presented, Christian and otherwise.
And I've seen and reading on some religious websites that were talking about the show of religion and spirituality, there are some people uncomfortable. Beyoncé, they said, very sexualized lyrics and performances and other occasions. They didn't necessarily want to see religious or spiritual messages coming from her and being in that same sort of pop culture package.
Right, right. No, that's a great illustration of sort of the common or constant tension. If you watch the movie or read the book, The Color Purple, there's a relationship between a daughter and a father who is a preacher and she's a blues singer, and how that tension is this ongoing, the sacred and the secular, right? We perceive this divide in our culture because one is deemed incredibly sexualized and the other is Puritan, right? So what we see in something like what Beyoncé presents is the marriage of the two. What if we didn't have this divide of the sacred and secular, or the sexual and the sacred? What if we saw the sexual as sacred? What then does it look like? And this is not a new thing. Beyoncé is presenting it in a fantastic, well-wrought, and I think laudable way. But it's not necessarily new.
Well, I think of, I mean, when you look at archaeology, a lot of times the first statue, the first sculpture you find is the fertility goddess. I mean, that's from the time we started thinking about this. That's sexuality and art and spirituality all rolled up into one.
Exactly. It's really a particularly Christian problem, I think. And you see it in related Abrahamic traditions as well. But specifically for white Christian America, this notion that sexuality can be sacred is anathema, right? It's something they just can't get with it. And it's a long-standing tradition in the United States especially, but within Protestant Christianity. The idea that God could represent anything sexual is problematic. So for Beyoncé to wear her sexuality like she does in so many ways, including her pregnancy, is going to be problematic for those people. But what she's doing, on the other hand, is really remarkable in showing us the beauty of it. And as a black woman in this culture, when black bodies are excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find a simple way to say this mm-hmm. without upsetting a lot of people simultaneously.
Black bodies look down on? Is that
effective?
Yeah,
no, black bodies are treated as dirty, right? Black bodies are always dirty, and a pregnant black body is the dirtiest possible body. But instead, she presents it as something beautiful. And that's really hard for us to get at, whether or not our initial impulse is racial in any way. Right, our initial impulse might be you can't talk about God and sex, but you add to that the various cultural layers of a black woman and all that she might represent, which she does so wonderfully in that presentation, that show. Right, she's representing black diaspora and black diaspora women. Black people who were brought over here as slaves were already practicing religions. They were practicing Christianity, they were practicing Islam and various other religions. And she found a way in her show to demonstrate that to us, and she found a way to do it that says the black female body, specifically the pregnant black female body, is strong, it's resilient, it's lasting through time, and has the possibility, and this is me, I haven't read this anywhere else, but what I think she's showing us that it has the possibility to save us, all of us.
Talking to Trip Hudgens from the Graduate Theological Union in California, looking at religion, spirituality, and popular music, themes that came up in the Grammys and elsewhere through time. Trip, I wanted to talk to you about something I just made up, I call the footloose phenomenon, the idea that, rock and roll, it's dangerous, maybe of the devil. And again, I guess is this a uniquely American thing? I don't know. Is this a tension that we're still working with, that popular music is anti-religious, anti-Christian in particular?
No, it's not new. But it's well documented in our culture, that's for sure. I like this. I'm going to steal that, Rob. I'm going to start talking about the footloose phenomenon. It's wonderful.
It's all yours.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I'll put you in a footnote in my dissertation. So one of my favorite persons to study in history is Hildegard von Bingen. She was an abbess in the 11th century. Remarkable woman, composer, brilliant mind, wrote several books. And one of the things she got in trouble for was writing music that had parts. So women were singing harmonies. So this had been a cloistered religious order, right? Nuns singing in harmony. And one of the letters that she received suggested that if women sang in harmony, the vibrations of their voices might cause unnecessarily sexual urges because they're singing different tones. Now, this might seem really silly to us now, but in Western Christianity especially, the tendency to interpret musical excitement as erotic has always been one of our problems. And again, we have this problem with eroticism and faith. So if singing in parts is erotic, we've been dealing with this for a long time. Popular music has often and throughout history had part singing be part of what we do. Singing, working music is often sung in parts. This is, historically documented. You can trace this stuff back. So the church has used its official might off and on to try to keep music simple, to try to keep it in unison. And this has happened over and over again in Catholicism and Protestantism alike. So what we've witnessed is with as new music have developed, you mentioned Elvis. I mean, this is, you know, Elvis the pelvis, right? How can he possibly sing gospel music? But if you don't make that separation, if you allow someone to be multidimensional, like Elvis so clearly was, like Beyonce so clearly is, then suddenly you have to deal with the various ways we get to God.
We're talking to Trip Hudgens right now. He studies liturgical studies and ethnomusicology at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. We're looking at religious references at the Grammys and in popular music past and present. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Did you see these religious overtones from people like Beyonce, A Tribe Called Quest, and others, Chance the Rapper at the Grammys? And looking back at your own history of listening to music, how has the music you listen to affected, overlapped with your spiritual beliefs, your faith, or hasn't it? Do you have a strong line between the two? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll be back with this conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up the conversation with Trip Hudgens. He studies ethnomusicology and liturgical studies at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. We're looking at religious references in pop culture, specifically at the Grammys and mainstream music.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us what you thought of performances by people like Beyonce, who we're hearing now, Chance the Rapper, and others. Did you see these religious references? Do you see a good overlap in your life between music and religion, in maybe in a church or other formal religious setting or beyond? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. We've got John with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, John?
No, I was just listening. I listen every day, and I was like, "This is pretty cool." I'm an old hippie, basically from the '60s, and a lot of the music we listened to had that in it. You know,
the spirituality,
the Water Revivals, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and like you said, Elvis. You know.
John, thanks for the call. A Trip in the 60s, he's saying, overtly Christian messages and more broadly spiritual messages, I think, in the music that, as John says, old hippies can look back at.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely true. So I have a 22-month-old son, and I have some friends who here, I'm in the Bay Area, so I get invited to shows every now and then, and I get to take him, my son, with me. And if you remember the song Spirit in the Sky, mm-hmm. There's this great picture of the artist who sang that piece, who's still with us. I was at a show, and he got up and covered that song. And so I got a selfie, like you do. This is the 21st century, so you take a selfie, and me and my son. And here I am with the guy who sang a song 50 years ago, right, it seems like now, Spirit in the Sky. And this is, and he's still with us. This is not something that we need to think of as, you know, our caller, John, said, you know, he's an old hippie. This isn't something of the past. These artists and people like John are still with us. People like John have made a lifetime of meaning in religion and in spirituality through these kinds of popular music. You know, Woodstock is one of the most sought-after festivals to repeat. People want that experience again and again and again, whether these festivals are necessarily religious or exclusively religious or not. They want that kind of vibrancy. And that, because that vibrancy that people still talk about is spiritual, right? We lay meaning into it. And so we find God in songs that are played on the radio or that we hear outside in rural New York while we're dancing around shirtless. There might not be anything more religious than a deadhead.
John, thanks for that call. That reminds me, I was reading one of your post-trip, and you talked about losing some of your favorite theologians over the last year, including people like David Bowie. And I never, I mean, I listened to David Bowie a lot. I never really thought of it as theology, but what do you think of it as we can confront the same kind of issues we might confront in a religious setting, but through music and through lyrics, even if it's not explicitly coming from a spiritual angle? Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. That last album of his, the song Lazarus is such a transparent example of the kind of stuff he was trying to do. Right? So David Bowie writes a song titled Lazarus that harkens back to a biblical story about a guy who dies. One of Jesus' friends dies, and Jesus goes and resurrects him, right? And so Bowie, sort of foreshadowing his own death, because he knows it's coming, even though we don't, until, you know, the news comes. We don't know that he's dying and that he's making this album, staring death in the face. But he stars in his own video, and he is Lazarus. He's so clear with his biblical imagery at that old age, and to then trace, if you want, everything else he's done, he's constantly pushing the boundaries of what it means to be human, which is the quintessential religious question. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be spirit? What does it mean to be in this life with one another? And what kind of questions can you ask? And Bowie's a great example of how that goes well and how it goes wrong. One of the things we need to do as we talk about this stuff is to not, you know, conflate, you know, theologians with perfect people, or our public artists, our popular artists, and the theology they portray as portrayals of so-called perfection. What they're actually showing us is humanity, sort of at full stretch.
Talking to Trip Hudgens from Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California. He studies ethnomusicology and liturgical studies there, talking about religion and popular music, partly inspired by the Grammys. Ted joins us next in Duluth. Ted, hi.
Yeah, I guess I'm calling in as kind of the curmudgeon. It's kind of funny. I've been an atheist for the last 2 years, but I remember growing up with older parents who were always really, you know, they were kind of offended when new musical styles would enter the church. And I had an aunt who said that, you know, we should have kept the organ in our church and that hymns were the only, like appropriate form of worship. So when I see performances at the Grammys with like those overt religious like imagery, it does offend me, and I can't help it. Like, I think that's really funny that even though I don't really believe that anymore, I have trouble not being a little bit offended.
Well, you're offended kind of funny. From your parents' perspective, not as an atheist now.
Yeah, it's funny. It is just like reactionary, and I guess I'll take my comments off any comments on that off the air.
Ted, thanks for the call. You know, I remember when the first electric guitars came into the Catholic Church. There was a bit of shock.
Not even just a bit, right? This is terrifying. No, but Ted makes a really good point. It's even though I said however many minutes ago that the sacred and secular are sort of falling into one another, there's less of a divide, it doesn't mean that everybody's in lockstep over this. There are people like Ted and Ted's parents out there. The church where I serve as a musician wrestles with this in its very eclectic way. We bring in lots of different musical styles. But there are still styles that are off limits. But if anything, we've learned through history that the church and people who worship in it have a wonderful ability to take art and turn it into something faithful. And people do that within the church and outside the church. This is why I think Chance the Rapper, Beyonce, and even A Tribe Called Quest in their performance, allowing their faith to have public witness is a great challenge to us. And people like Ted are totally within their rights to be offended, because it's hard sometimes to have our genres shattered, our sense of what belongs where sort of messed with.
You mentioned the Tribe Called Quest performance. Want to listen to just a bit of that and talk about it a little bit.
All of the bad folks, you must go.
Dark skin, high, yellow, you got to go.
All of my poor folks, you must go.
Still hustle every day, ain't making no dough.
And all of the Mexicans, you must go.
Doesn't mean if you're Chinese or Filipinos, you got to go.
So they're laying out what they're saying are messages of intolerance there, and including the so-called Muslim ban from the federal government. So in this case, trying to use music as a tool of tolerance there.
I think so. And, you know, at least from what we know, Tribe Called Quest is a fun sort of mercurial group of people. But we know two people in the group who are Muslim themselves. So they have a dog in that fight. It's really important when we listen to these lyrics that we look to the lives of the artists. Beyonce and her sisters had a little group that did pretty well, but they got their start in church. Aretha Franklin got her start in church. Elvis got his start in church. So did Johnny Cash. I mean, a lot of these folks we don't think of, again, because many of us have been raised to think like Ted, that there's just no way that popular music can be faithful, because for whatever reason, then we forget that these people actually have lives. And they are complex lives. So Tribe Called Quest presents, you know, a tolerant hip-hop that's asking for a tolerant America. And that pushes multiple boundaries simultaneously.
We'll leave it there for now. Trip, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking to Trip Hudgens. He's a PhD candidate in liturgical studies and ethnomusicology at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California. He joins us to talk about religious and spiritual references at the Grammys and in popular music in general.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.